This is the official podcast of the Academy for Women in Academic Emergency Medicine Anniversary Interviews, celebrating 10 years of progress. This is your host, Michelle Lin, and today I speak with Dr. Stephanie Abuel, Professor and Vice Chair of Faculty Affairs at the University of Pennsylvania, about building her career around women in academic medicine and why there are still too few women chairs in our specialty.
So tell me a little bit about where you are currently in your career and how it was that you got there.
I am very senior in my career. It's almost shocking to hear me say that. I've obviously been in this business for a while now, and sometimes I have to stop and just think about that. It's really been an amazing experience. I'm so happy I went into medicine, and it's, you know, not that it hasn't had its challenges, but I feel good about it. And I am thrilled that I actually had the opportunity, you know, to do medicine. I actually was on the wave of women back literally in the late 70s, early 80s that went into medicine when really there had been just a few women before me. And I've had this wonderful view of how women have changed medicine because I've witnessed it over my career, and it's been fascinating. That's why I became so fascinated with the status of women in medicine and to watch them enter what had, you know, previously been a pretty much male, not only dominated but almost exclusively, except for just a handful of pioneers. And I've witnessed that, became fascinated by it. About halfway through my career, I decided that I was so fascinated by it that I wanted to make it the focus of my scholarship. For the last 15 or so years, 15 or 20 years, I've really, that's been the focus for the scholarship part of my career. And I'm still loving it. I'm still fascinated by it. We still have more challenges ahead of us, and I still have energy to work on those, at least for the time being. But I am senior. I'm a full professor in emergency medicine at University of Pennsylvania. I'm the vice chair of Faculty Affairs, Wellness, and Professionalism, and I'm the executive director of Focus on Health and Leadership for Women, which is a program at Penn that's been in existence for 25 years. It's funded through the dean's office. And it has a dual mission of advancing women at Penn and hoping to serve as a model for other programs and to do research on women's careers and on women's health. So that's the mission of Focus, and I've been the executive director since 2001.
Most of the conversations have been about how organizations have affected women, but you mentioned how women have changed or affected medicine. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Women have brought their talents to medicine. They are clearly 50% of the best and the brightest. They are, I think, you know, bringing slightly different, and I mean, I think, you know, obviously men and women have mostly the same talents, the same sensibilities, the same qualities that they bring to the profession, but, you know, are women different? Yes, slightly, they are, but that slightly different is the diversity that we need. To be creative and to be and to bring outstanding healthcare to our patients and to do outstanding research and to be the best teachers. I mean, you know, we know that now, right? We know that the diversity brings excellence in problem solving and in teamwork. And women have done that over the last 30 years. Medicine is better for it, and it's something we can be really proud of and excited by. And now we just need to further diversify medicine by remembering that there are still underrepresented groups that have talent to bring, that we need to create environments where we can, you know, bring them in.
Tell me a little bit about your involvement in women-focused professional organizations, including AWEM, over the course of your career.
I mean, AWEM has, you know, been a great organization and exciting to be part of. I was part of its initial group with Kathy Clem and Gloria Kuhn and myself and others. I'm not mentioning everyone who deserves to be mentioned. It was a time when I think emergency medicine really needed for women to organize so that they could share their experiences, share in strategies to not only be successful as individuals, but to think about institutional changes, both in our specialty and in our own institutions that create the cultures that we all try to survive and thrive in. I think that's been needed all across medicine, the big house of medicine, and that's why almost every specialty, probably everyone, I just don't know about them all, has a women in medicine arm or organization. I mean, there's power in numbers. I mean, that's what's so exciting about where we are right now, is that, you know, women are just a force, you know, and if we can organize to the extent that we have a clear voice that, I mean, again, we won't all agree on everything, but to the extent that we can come to some general recommendations and general conclusions that can be implemented and that can be conveyed and communicated across our specialty, that's how we can impact change. But not only does it, you know, as I just described, to organize us, bring us together, come to some general conclusions that we agree on, but we also can do research and scholarship together, which allows us to have a voice in a scholarly way, which I think in medicine, when you're trying to make change, that's a really important approach, right? I mean, we're evidence-based in our clinical practice. There's no reason why we shouldn't strive and want to be evidence-based in the way we approach issues like unconscious bias or issues like how do we define leadership and is it the best way to define leadership and et cetera. So AWEM has also led to some significant scholarship that I think has helped move the needle in our specialty.
And how would you say AWEM has impacted your career specifically?
Now, that's an interesting question. I think that, when I became involved with AWEM, I had already committed myself to advancing women, doing research and scholarship in this area, trying to think about best practices. But I had focused my sphere of influence primarily at my institution, where I had been since I had done my residency. We were part of a task force that was the beginning of the formation of AWEM. I mean, basically the task force recommendation was that an organization like AWEM should be started, and that this would be a vehicle, again, to bring women together, to make recommendations, and a force for change. So then I worked with that organization and was, I think, the second president of AWEM after Kathy. It was just a whole nother area in emergency medicine, because, again, of unconscious bias, because of work-life integration and balance issues, for all the many causal factors that create some challenges for women. So it continues to have a very low percentage of women chairs. I think the latest data was 10% of chairs are women, that's on the low side. The average is about 16 or 17% if you're just looking at the average of AAMC data of chairs who are women, and of course it differs in specialties. And you know, in a specialty like orthopedics, there's zero women chairs as of the last benchmarking data from AAMC. And in OBGYN, there was something like, I think it was like 28 or 29%. I might have the exact number wrong, but that was the highest field. Although actually preventive medicine was the highest field, but of the clinical specialties, OBGYN. And then emergency medicine was way down towards the bottom of that list. But listen, chairs in emergency medicine is only one of course many metrics that you would use to look at the status of women in our specialty. But you know, we have a ways to go, but we certainly have more and more of our residents are women, and that's been exciting.
What do you think women focused professional organizations can do to help grow that pipeline?
Oh, a whole ton. they can do many of the things that AWEM does. Again, they can do scholarship, do even research via whatever mechanisms they can, either by their data that they get from surveys or focus groups or even more ambitious kinds of research. Write papers, get them out in the journals, get them out on various social media platforms. They can have their own leadership courses or what I would call professional development, career development courses, where you learn about, improve your skill sets for career and leadership development, host seminars and workshops on time management, negotiation, managing up, managing down, mentoring, sponsorship, work-life balance issues, finance issues, you name it. So AWEM has done that. Like, so at many of our national meetings, there's courses that you can take advantage of or even just workshops that last 1, 2, or 3 hours. So those are incredibly helpful. Networking, I mean, just bringing women together to take advantage of the incredibly rich network that is there to be just taken advantage of, a network that can help you in terms of changing jobs or seeking your first job if you're a resident or fellow, getting mentorship because you are able to find other women colleagues who are interested in the same area of research that you're interested in. Or just again, sharing strategies and sharing experiences and learning and gaining insight just from that, you know, those rich discussions and relationships that form. I think, again, for a specialty organization can offer recommendations. Again, like, for example, the best practices paper that Esther Chu and many of us were on as co-authors that was published in Academic Emergency Medicine, I think now actually 2 years ago. But that was, the title, The Development of Best Practice Recommendations to Support the Hiring, Recruitment, and Advancement of Women. So, I mean, that's really important. What should organizations be doing? What should chairs and chiefs and the leaders in emergency medicine be doing, since most of them are men, and they may still have valuable ideas about how that can be done too, by the way. And actually, I think we should tap into that more than we do. But how, you know, it's important for us to come together for best practices.
What do you think is the biggest challenge for women in academic emergency medicine in the next 10 years?
If I have to pick one, the biggest challenge is making this leap to leadership, is going from creating a specialty and creating environments in each one of our emergency departments across the country where women can thrive, where women are welcome, where women have equal opportunity, where women and men, by the way, have a chance to have sustainable careers where they can meet their goals in their careers and their goals in their personal lives, in their family lives, and family defined as just the people that you love, whatever family looks like to you. I mean, we have to create sustainable careers. We cannot expect people to give up what's important to them in their spheres outside of their work. And we know from the burnout literature that women are more affected than men by burnout. And burnout, in my opinion, is very real, and it's very real across the big house of medicine. And so I think the challenges that I see are to advance women into leadership positions. We need the talent and slightly different perspectives, again, slightly emphasized over and over, because men and women are mostly the same in what we bring to medicine. But the difference is important, and is the richness and the diversity that we're looking for. And we have to have women in leadership so we can all gain the advantage of their perspective and their leadership. So I don't ever want to be misinterpreted to think I'm somehow thinking that medicine is going to be 9 to 5 and we should have banker's hours. But I also don't think that we can just expect people to give the kind of devotion, both in terms of hours, but also in terms of stresses. And I mean, people's lives are incredibly complicated, and dual career couples and single parent households are more common than ever before in our society. And these our society is different, and our institutions and our concepts about our expectations of careers like medicine haven't really changed with the times. And this is for men and women, because, you know, again, the recent data shows that 50% of men in academic medicine, at least if you look at the data that comes from Reshma Jagzi, who's done such amazing work in this area, 86% of women and 49% of men have partners or spouses who work full time. That is not the landscape that existed in the 1970s. And so institutions and all of us in academic medicine have to really think about that as a very big piece of this challenge of work-life balance, which I think continues to be an important issue, and one that women's organizations need to think about. And also we need to include our male allies.
What career accomplishment would you say that you're most proud of?
One of them is that, I've spent my whole career at Penn. So I was in right after my residency, I took, an attending position in the emergency department, where I have been ever since. So that's like 35 years, 36 years now. And back then, which was the early 80s and then the mid 80s, emergency medicine at Penn was a division. Well, it wasn't even a division, actually. It had like no academic status. It was part of the Department of Medicine as a clinical area. Our brand new chairman of medicine at the time decided that emergency medicine should be a division, and I was the division chief of this brand new division, and it was just an incredibly exciting time, and I was able to work with the chairman of medicine and then the new dean to basically start the Department of Emergency Medicine at Penn. And we were the first full academic department in the Ivy League. And it was just a huge, big deal. And it was so exciting to be part of that. And it was actually because of those experiences being kind of catapulted into the C-suite of Penn at a time when I had no business being there. I was very junior. I was like 39 and I was an assistant professor. I was just able to be at the right place at the right time. The status of emergency medicine was improving by the year across the country. And we started this brand new department, and I was the interim chair at age like 39 or 40 of this brand new department. I'm proud of Focus on Health and Leadership for Women at Penn. It's an organization that I really hope has had an impact on both women and men. We try very hard to bring value to women as our primary mission, but also try very hard to bring our men colleagues and allies into the fold as part of the solution and to bring value to them.
What piece of advice would you give a younger version of yourself or an AWEM member at an earlier stage of her career?
I would say to self, don't be quite so cautious. You can take more risks. You don't have to be afraid of failure. I'm absolutely convinced now, and I obviously didn't realize this when I was younger, that making mistakes and failure is actually how you grow and how you actually gain more confidence. And how does that work? Well, it works because when you fail and you move on, you realize that it's not that big of a deal. I mean, now, not to say that I suppose there are like incredibly big mistakes, but that's really not how it works. Mistakes are a way of learning. And so I wish I had been less cautious. I wish I had taken more risks. But I'm a cautious person by nature, and a little bit of a unfortunately of a you know an unreformed perfectionist, and I think that held me back in terms of taking risks, and I wish I had known then what I know now, which is you know that actually is how you gain confidence and how you learn and probably how in the end you're able to have an even bigger impact.
Can you recommend three other AWEM members at different stages of their careers who we should consider interviewing?
Absolutely. Jean Marie Perrone is a full professor in emergency medicine here at Penn and a toxicologist and just an amazing person and an amazing scholar in the opioid epidemic. She's just a powerhouse and an incredibly outstanding emergency physician clinician, in addition to just a force at our institution and nationally in the opioid epidemic. And you may have heard of her, but she's just super. As a senior, she's a senior woman. Raina Merchant, and I have to tell you, these are three Penn people, so forgive me for being so Penn-centric, but they're just so outstanding. They have to be my three, but there's so many more. Raina Merchant is one of our mid-career women faculty. She's an associate professor. She's just a powerhouse of really innovative research in the realm of using digital and online and social media to really think about big public health issues. She's just really has leadership written all over her. As does Jean Marie, and as does Gina South, who is my third woman to mention, who is junior in our faculty. So she's an assistant professor. Her area of scholarship is disparities in in health and in medical care, and she's doing some really innovative research about green spaces and about making the connection between neighborhood green spaces and health outcomes. And she is also, again, just an outstanding clinician, scholar, and wonderful. These are just ladies who are dripping with talent. So these are all the reasons why we need to have these great women and many more in leadership, because they have so much to offer us.
Thanks again for tuning in. Join us next time for a chat with the famous Dr. Esther Chu, who talks about her vision for gender equity in medicine and why so much of the work that AWEM is doing right now is laying the foundation. See you next time.